in his wife. Meru Devyam Meru Devi. Dharman, the principles of religion. Darshayitu Kamaha, desiring to exhibit how to perform. Vatarashananam, of the sannyasis who have almost no clothes. Shramananam, of the vanaprastas. Rishinam, of the great sages. Udvamantanam, of the brahmacharis. Shuklayatanuva, in his original spiritual form, which is above the modes of material nature. Avatara, appeared as an incarnation. Translation. O Vishnudat, Parikshit Maharaj, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was pleased by the great sages at that sacrifice. Consequently, the Lord decided to personally exhibit the method of executing religious principles as observed by brahmacharis, sannyasis, vanaprastas, and grihastas engaged in rituals, and also to satisfy Maharaj Nabhi's desire. Consequently, he appeared as the son of Meru Devi in his original spiritual form, which is above the modes of material nature. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When the Supreme Lord appears or descends as an incarnation within this material world, he does not accept a body made of the three modes of material nature, sattva-guna, rajoguna, and tamoguna. Mayavadi philosophers say that the impersonal God appears in this material world by accepting a body in the sattva-guna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states that the word shukla means consisting of Shuddha Sattva. Lord Vishnu descends in his Shuddha Sattva form. Shuddha Sattva refers to the Sattva Gun, which is never contaminated. In this material world, even the mode of goodness, Sattva Guna, is contaminated by tinges of Rajogun and Tamogun. When Sattva-guna is never contaminated by Rajoguna and Tamoguna, it is called Shuddha-sattva. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. That's Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23. That is the platform of Vasudeva, whereby the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, can be experienced. In Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Sri Krishna himself says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati parata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there's a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time, I descend myself. Unlike ordinary living entities, the Supreme Lord is not forced by the modes of material nature to appear. He appears dharman darshayitu kama, to show how to execute the functions of a human being. The word dharma is meant for human beings, and is never used in connection with beings inferior to human beings, such as animals. Unfortunately, without being guided by the Supreme Lord, human beings sometimes manufacture a process of dharma by concoction. Actually, dharma cannot be made by man. Dharmandu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.19. Dharma is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as law is given by the state government. Man-made dharma has no meaning. Srimad Bhagavatam refers to man-made dharma as kaitava dharma, cheating religion. The Supreme Lord sends an avatar incarnation to teach human society the proper way to execute religious principles. Such religious principles are bhakti marga. As the Supreme Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharman purityajya mamekam sharanam braja. The son of Maharaj Nabi, Rishabhadev, appeared on this earth to preach the principles of religion. That will be explained in the fifth chapter of this fifth canto. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Rishabhadev's Appearance in the Womb of Meru Devi, the Wife of King Nabhi. So then this chapter, we're concluding the description of how it is the Lord happened to appear on this occasion. So he was pleased by the great sages at the sacrifice and said, you asked for a son like me, to Nabhi, and said, but there's no one like me. In a class by myself, so I'll just become your son myself. That's the only way you can get anyone like me, is just to get me. Krishna is incomparable. No rivals. So therefore, he's appearing. So here in the purport, Prabhupada has two major points to make. First, the nature of his form, Shuklaya Tanuva, literally in a white body. Shukla means white generally. But here Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this white refers here to Shuddha Sattva. So there are two major misconceptions that people have about the Lord. One is that his personal feature is some kind of material arrangement, or has its source or origin in the material world. That he's impersonal, and then he takes some form for the purpose of executing religious principles, so therefore takes on a body. Although Krishna has very clearly refuted this passage in Bhagavad Gita. Anyone know exactly where? Yes, not for this. Yeah, there's that one. I'm thinking of another one, huh? Huh? I think so. That's the one you mean? The one I'm thinking of goes, I can't remember where it is. Avyakta vyaktam apanam manyate mam abudaya. That's the one you're thinking of? Avyakta vyaktam apanam manyate mam abudaya. Those who are abudaya, without intelligence, they think avyakta vyaktam apanam that I was avyakta, non-manifest or impersonal, and then apanam, I achieved or gained vyaktim, form and personality manifestation. That's what they think. First I was impersonal, then I became a person. It's very clearly stated there. There's not too many ways you can get around it. Avyaktam, vyaktam, apanam. What's the verse number there? Do you know? It's in the 7th chapter. Avyaktam, vyaktam, apanam, manyate mam. 7, is that the one? Abhudaya. So this says that he has transcendental form. It's not that he becomes. Actually, what it is, to say that God, according to the Mayavadi way of looking at things, to say that the impersonal God takes on a personal form is the same thing as saying that a conditioned soul becomes promoted to being God. Because what I am is actually the impersonal God with a personal form. Now, my personal form may be contaminated by passion and ignorance. Therefore, I can't qualify as a teacher. So therefore, when there's some jiva or some ordinary person who's qualified purely by the mode of goodness, then that person can be considered an incarnation. Consequently, the tendency, you understand, because there's no difference between God and the ordinary living entity, according to Mayavad philosophy, right? We are all, somehow or other, Brahman has been conditioned by ignorance. It's the same thing. We're all avatars, in a sense. In the sense that I'm God. So the result is that, according to them, that any realized jiva, any realized person, can be considered God. Therefore, as a result of that, you have this in Mayavadi and impersonal circles. What did Prabhupada call it? Manufacturing God, mystic yoga factory. They're mass produced. This one's an avatar, that one's an avatar. Makes it very easy. In other words, because the difference. That's why, with his Mayavadi basis, the followers of Ramakrishna didn't have any qualms about sitting down and taking a vote among themselves whether he was God or not. Because to them anyway, it was just a question of terms. To decide whether or not he was God. He was God. Pope Prabhupada refers to this several times about people being elected God by the votes of their foolish followers. Or else people think that a more modern way of looking at it in the West is that people think that any particular idea is a product of our mythopoetic imagination, personification of different things, projection of Jungian archetypes, whatever their various systems to. And that it's all right for you to accept them as real, even though you know they're not. But that's another idea, to give validity to imagination or concoction. Behind that's a philosophy that everything is a concoction anyway. This extreme relativism. and that if we're all God, we can make up our own world. Anyway, these are various forms of thinking that the Lord, His manifestation, is a product of material nature. Either He's some historical personality, but who's actually like we are. His form and everything is a material product. This is why I would let Dr. Radhakrishnan to say, in his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says, surrenders to me, to say, it is not to Krishna the person we have to surrender, but to that which is unborn within Krishna. Well, that makes Krishna no different. That makes Krishna one of us. Why don't you surrender to Krishna the person? Well, that's material. But to that which is unborn within Krishna, that's Brahman. Well, same for me, same for you. So this is their position. If you want to convince people about Krishna consciousness, we have to convince them on this point that Krishna is unique. That the Supreme Lord, when He descends, it's a whole different operation than our appearance here. So all the Shastras say. His janma is divyam. This is different. What does it mean? It means that Krishna, that the Lord is not under the control of material nature. There's Vishnu and there's Vishnu Maya. And He is always the controller of Vishnu Maya. Vishnu Maya has two forms, Mahamaya and Yogamaya. Well, really the form is Yogamaya, but then kind of a segment of Yogamaya or a amsha of Yogamaya is Mahamaya. And the other category is the conditioned souls, who are always under the control of either Yogamaya or Mahamaya, depending on whether as they are Mahatmas or Duratmas. Krishna says, what does He say? Mahatmanas tumam parata daivim prakritim ashritam. Those who are great souls, they have daivim prakritim ashritam. They are under the shelter of daivim prakritim, the divine energy, or yogamaya. And duratmas, crooked souls, that's a duratma means crooked souls, are under the control of this mahamaya. But the point about Krishna is He doesn't really. He's the controller of both of these. So especially when He comes to the material world, He does not come under the control of Mahamaya, which is for crooked souls. And Mahamaya has three departments of Sattva, Raja, and Tamagun, which conditions the crooked souls. Prabhupada has used the example of the sovereign, say the governor of a state, visiting a prison house. He goes into the prison house, he walks through the corridors, he may even walk into a cell, talk to the prisoner, but never once does he come under the control of the prison authorities. He's there, he's walking around, but he's not under the law that governs the behavior of convicted criminals. It's a simple example, but it explains the difference. So to say that when Krishna appears, he takes a body of in the mode of goodness is to say that he's become a high class, high level convict. He's in the modes of material nature. Therefore, Vishuddha Sattva, the state of transcendence, is described as not just sattva, it's not sattva, but Shuddha or Vishuddha Sattva. S-H-U-D-D-H-A, Shuddha. Shuddha or Vishuddha Sattva. In the material world, there's three modes, right? There's goodness, passion, and ignorance. And we see them operating. Very simple is that things are being created, things are being maintained, and things are being destroyed. Right? It's going on all the time. And that's the operations of the three modes. When anything is being created, it's a mode of passion. When it's being maintained, it's the mode of goodness. And when it's being destroyed, it's the mode of ignorance. But you can see how they're always operating together. You know, you take this pile of wood chips right here outside. There's smoke coming off. You can see them because there's composting. So predominance of mode of ignorance. Things are being broken down. You know, there's metabolism taking place or being taken apart. But also, something has to be maintained just for it to go on. So somewhere in there, there's some mode of goodness. And also, there's a little mode of passion in there because a little bacteria are multiplying like crazy. That's causing the breaking down. So you see, in everywhere, these modes are all working together in the material world. So even when there's goodness is manifest, which is hard in a way even for people to imagine because our society is so much overwhelmed more and more with passion and ignorance. Things are being destroyed. Everyone says this, right? They don't make things like they used to. Remember, you get something, it lasts for 30 years, 40 years. No. Manufacture it and throw it away. Don't keep it. Disposable. That's mode of passion, mode of ignorance. No goodness. But even when in the material world there's predominance of goodness, still there's passion and ignorance mixed in with it. Because in the material world there's always this creation and destruction going on. When you come to the spiritual world, it's eternal. That is to say, it's pure goodness without any coming into being and without any going out of being. Therefore, its characteristic is like the sattva guna of this world. And because of that, that's why Vishnu himself is in charge of sattva guna. Whereas the domains of Brahma and Shiva are limited. The domain of Vishnu is over the whole spiritual world. But in the spiritual world, there's goodness, but without any tinge of all of ignorance and passion. So therefore, the spiritual world is called Shuddha Sattva, purified goodness, or Vishuddha Sattva. So that's the name of the state of being transcendental to all modes of material nature, is called Shuddha Sattva. Some of that is reflected in the goodness of this material world, but it's different because here you won't get any particle of goodness in the material world that doesn't have a little passion and ignorance woven through it. It's always in association with those. Shuddha sattva refers to the sattva guna which is never contaminated, is not capable of being contaminated. It's immune. It's got no receptors for passion and ignorance. When sattva guna is never contaminated by rajagun and tamagun, it is called shuddha sattva or vishuddha sattva sometimes. And that's the state that devotees are also supposed to come to. In order to realize Krishna, one has to be Vishuddha Sattva. First Sattva, then Vishuddha Sattva, or Shuddha Sattva. This is explained. I'll read this. This is second canto, first canto, chapter 2, 19. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. Prabhupada says, the soul's activity becomes adulterated in contact with matter, and as such the diseased activities are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankering, that's passion, lust, desire, hankering, inactivity, foolishness, and sleep, ignorance. The effect of devotional service becomes manifest by complete elimination of these effects of passion and ignorance. The devotee is fixed at once in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress. So first goodness, then he makes further progress to rise to the position of Vasudeva, or the state of unmixed sattva or shuddha sattva. Here's a typo here. Okay, the position of Vasudeva. The stage is also called Vasudeva with a short A. It's called the Vasudeva stage. Which is the same platform as Krishna, Vasudeva, long A. Or the state of unmixed sattva or shuddha sattva. Only in the Shuddha Sattva state can one always see Krishna eye to eye by dint of pure affection for the Lord. It goes on. Next. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge, tattva vijnanam, bhagavat tattva vijnanam. That word vijnana is used there. Positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. No ordinary person, or even one who has attained success in human life, can know scientifically or perfectly the personality of Godhead. Perfection of human life is attained when one can understand that he is not the product of matter, but is in fact spirit. The bewilderment of the soul is when he thinks, Trigunatmikam, I'm made of these, I'm composed of these, I'm a product of these three gunas. As soon as one understands that he has nothing to do with matter, he at once ceases his material hankerings and becomes enlivened as a spiritual being. This attainment of success is possible when one is above the modes of passion and ignorance. Or in other words, when one is actually a brahmana by qualification. So here we're on this first level of just sattva guna. It's being described here. And you can understand that I have, in sattva guna, you can understand that I have nothing to do with matter. That much is possible in sattva guna. I am not this body. A brahmana is the symbol of sattva guna, or the mode of goodness, and others who are not in the mode of goodness are either kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, or less than the shudras. The brahminical stage is the highest stage of human life because of its good qualities. So one cannot be a devotee unless one is at least qualifies as a brahmana. The devotee is already a brahmana by action, by, say, following the four regular principles. But that is not the end of it. As referred to above, such a brahmana has to become a Vaishnava. In fact, to be actually in the transcendental stage. A pure Vaishnava is a liberated soul and is transcendental even to the position of a brahmana. In the material stage, even a brahmana is also a conditioned soul. Because although in the brahminical stage the conception of Brahman or transcendence is realized, scientific knowledge of the Supreme Lord is lacking. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. That's what's lacking. Vijnanam. One has to surpass the brahminical stage and reach the Vasudeva stage to understand the personality of Godhead Krishna. And Vasudeva is same as Shuddha Sattva. The science of the personality of Godhead is the subject matter for study by the postgraduate students in the spiritual line. Foolish men, or men with a poor fund of knowledge, do not understand the Supreme Lord, and they interpret Krishna according to their respective whims. These are all the whims of people who are in the modes of passion, ignorance, or even goodness, that he takes a body of matter, that he's a projection of the psychic, that it's myths, you know, that the whole thing is some material concoction. This is all the understanding of people who are... Now look at their lives and see. The fact is, however, that one cannot understand the science of the personality of Godhead unless one is freed from the contamination of the material modes, even up to the stage of a brahmana. When a qualified brahmana factually becomes a Vaishnava in the enlivened state of liberation, he can know what is actually the personality of Godhead. Okay, so that describes Krishna as getting his form being Shuddha Sattva. But to appreciate that, we also ourselves have to come to that same platform, Vasudeva platform. That is the platform of Vasudeva, whereby the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, can be experienced. I'll just mention the other major point he's making is that he appears, Rishabhadeva appears to teach, again, Dharma. Here the Dharma of the four Varnas. Again, this Dharma, similarly, human behavior, human conduct, is also not a concoction. Here you also have, by ignorant people, this notion that part of evolutionary theory, that human conduct is made up by different cultures at different times, and that there is no standard human behavior. Different cultures have different purposes and so on. But there's no ought that can apply to the whole human race as general. Hare Bol Maharaj. Hare Krishna. So we're here, the same thing. People who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, they may make up different things. And it's a fact, you have various aboriginal and concocted forms of culture. But the actual one is given by people like Rishabhadev, who's not contaminated, Vishuddha Sattva, and therefore whatever knowledge he gives is free from any distortion that is introduced by materialistic people. Okay, I'll stop there. That's the end of the chapter. You have a question? You have a comment? Yeah, to be on the Shuddha Sattva platform means to be able to understand Krishna and therefore go to the kingdom of God. So this impersonal liberation, if one actually attains it, so far as I understand, that person who's actually liberated is in the Brahma Jyoti, he's not under the modes of material nature at that time. But still susceptible to come under the modes of nature because of incomplete self-fulfillment, a servant of Krishna. It says in Bhagavatam, it's less rare than you. It's much rarer than you would think. Impersonal liberation. It says in Bhagavatam that they think themselves liberated. I can't remember that verse now. How does it go? What's the, you know that verse? Yeah. How does it go? Vimuktamani. Yeah. It's, according to their idea, they're liberated. But sometimes somebody may be a big impersonalist and may think that he's a liberated soul. I read Bhaktisiddhanta said somewhere that the impersonalists take birth as rocks and trees on account of being so greedy. You certainly are. The condition of being, say, a stone has a lot of similarities to the condition of impersonal liberation, doesn't it? Vimuktimanana, they think they are liberated by their own conception. Yeah? Yeah, that's right. It's an idol. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said they imagine something round. Mayavadi something. When they think of God, they think of something round. But that whole Mayavadi idea, that's also a concoction. That is a concoction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a fact. So that's what's very insidious, this notion, they assume so many people that they say, I'm a bhakta, I'm a devotee, but then you find out that actually they have this reservation that in the end I'll become God. It's also Buddhist like that too, that Mahayana Buddhism, everybody worships various bodhisattvas. But the idea is ultimately I'll also become them and merge into nirvana. Same idea. You see a lot of Buddhists, they worship Buddha. But it's always with this same notion, same mission. Yeah? It's not necessarily that one be a member of the Brahminical Varna to understand Krishna. It's like this. If you follow some gradual path of Vedic advancement, then you have to be born as a Brahmana, and then from that platform you can gradually rise to the position of a Vaishnava and be the best of the Brahmanas. But first of all, you have to be born to a Brahmana platform. Without that, you can't make any spiritual advancement. This is the conception. And that all these pious kings and everything, they would actually have to be born as Brahmanas. Actually, I was told this by this follower of Madhwa who wrote me letters from South India for a while. I was writing BTG articles and he was finding them full of heresies according to what he thought. And so his idea was that all these ISKCON devotees, we would take our births by dint of our Krishna consciousness. We could actually not go back to Godhead until we took our birth as Brahminical families in India. Then we could do that. But the point of Krishna consciousness, although in order to realize, in order to be a pure Vaishnava, you have to be qualified as a Brahmana, the process is available for everybody, no matter where they're situated in what modes of nature, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudras, worse than Shudras, worse than Shudras, whatever. Everybody can take some, begin on the process of Krishna consciousness. But you don't actually become a pure Vaishnava until you've gone all the way up. So, Krishna's point is that somebody who is in a Kshatriya position, they can begin. It's not, you don't have to wait till you're a Brahmana by birth or even a Brahmana by qualification. You can begin anywhere. But actually the fact is that as you make spiritual advancement, everyone, by following the principles and taking to the process of Krishna consciousness, everyone should come to the platform of mode of goodness. Passion and ignorance should disappear. It is not the case that once one comes to that platform, he should also, or she, change the occupational duty. That's not necessary. A person may want to. It's not absolutely forbidden, but in general, people have to do their occupational duties, and Krishna says, why bother to change? Just renounce the fruits. Over those, you have no proprietorship. You have a right to your work, but not to the fruits. So just renounce the fruits and stay in your position. That way there won't be social chaos. And but you definitely, a person, no matter what their position, if they actually make advancement, it should be seen that the modes of passion and the modes of ignorance are going away. So that has to, one has to be qualified, the mode of.